Welcome to another episode of Crossing Soccer Borders, a podcast focused on the growth of CONCACAF soccer. I am Rudy.
And I am Rodrigo.
And before we get started, we would like to thank you for listening. We have gone international as Crossing Soccer Borders has been downloaded in Mexico, Canada, and in Europe. We are so grateful for you, our amazing listeners, and we hope that we can continue to entertain you and maybe educate you on the region that we call our own. What's up, Rodrigo? We tend to record on Sundays, man, but here we are, Monday night, and super excited for this match is coming up. It's going to be fun, man. How you doing?
Doing well. Had fun going down there to visit you guys, spend some time, and catch the Dynamo versus LAFC game. That was quite a treat.
Yeah, there's definitely nothing like watching live soccer, for sure, man. And we can talk about that match maybe a little later, but let's go ahead and get started. We want to get started with CONCACAF soccer. So we're talking Champions League tonight. And again, I'm super excited. It's leg two of the quarterfinals, and some of them are going to be pretty good matches. I guess let's get started with the Philadelphia and Atlanta United matchup. Rodrigo, we saw what leg one was all about. Give us your insight on it, man.
It was a shocking game. Philadelphia Union came all out. Atlanta United honestly did not look in shape at all. They gave up some early goals, and Philadelphia Union really just put this game away. Ended up being 3-0 in Atlanta United's home. Going to Philadelphia now, Atlanta United is going to have a really tough job to try to get through to the next round. I'm actually shocked on this one. I did not expect it to go this way. I really thought Atlanta United had a better rhythm going into this game. And the Union, they just surprised everybody, I believe, including me, obviously. Let's just kind of take a recap on how the weekend kind of went for this team. So they both actually lost. Philadelphia Union ended up losing against New York City FC. They did get an early red. Jose Martinez was sent off, and the game ended 2-0 for them. The Polish capper, he ended up being subbed in the 61 minute. And in the Atlanta United game, they lost against the New England Revolution 2-1. This was a little bit different. I mean, both teams, you can clearly see that they came in with a, you know, they know that they're going to go play the CONCACAF Champions League. So they had more of an alternate team. They didn't really play that many starters, and they kind of did more subs here and there. Atlanta United actually went out with Cubo Torres on top, which played most of the game. And then we saw Joseph Martinez get a couple minutes again, and Ezequiel Barco came in as a sub in the halftime. Right, what are your thoughts on this one, Rudy?
Yeah, so I mean, the matchup itself, definitely, like you said, very shocking in the way it went down. I feel like Atlanta honestly probably played the better game, just couldn't finish. And what's surprising is just how good Andre Blake, the goalie that we've mentioned in the past from Jamaica, was. I mean, the dude just kept saving everything. And I think if it wasn't because of him, it wouldn't easily been like maybe a 2-0 Atlanta United. But being that Blake did so many good saves, just kept them in the game. Atlanta had like almost 70% of the possession, had like double the shots, and only two more on target. So, of course, Philadelphia took a full advantage and finished. And you can see it on the first goal was kind of like, you know, out of nowhere. But then the other two, it was just Atlanta pushing all the way up and then scoring. Like you mentioned, it's very difficult for Atlanta United to come back from a 3-0 deficit. And of course they're playing in Philadelphia now, so Philly has a big, I mean, what is it, they need to score maybe three goals to tie it and four to pass. So I mean, it's a big challenge in front of them. The only thing, and you know, jokingly, yeah, there, you can't really sell me on Atlanta United passing to the next phase, but Philadelphia has been terrible at home. They've lost, you know, their two home, or their home opener, and they lost a lot this week with Jose Martinez, man. He was one of my favorite players last year for the Union. And the guy's just kind of like, I don't know, he's lost some his marbles a bit. getting some foolish fouls. Even during this Atlanta United game, he could have easily gotten red carded as well. But just to finish off this matchup, very fun matchup. It's going to be fun to just see, because I think Atlanta is going to play like they have nothing to lose at this rate. So it could easily be another 3-0 for Philadelphia. Or, man, you never know. Maybe Joseph Martinez scores everything that he gets. But, yeah, man, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think Atlanta United is going to have to. They're going to have to play Joseph Martinez the full 90 if they want to go through. I think Philadelphia Union is going to go into more a defensive game. They know they got 3 goals. They're going to try to maybe do something on top, play the long ball. But overall, I think we're going to see this more of a defensive game. Like you mentioned, Blake was outstanding, and I think they're trying to keep that momentum with them, and hopefully they can go through with that.
Yeah, and so this matchup, the Philadelphia Atlanta United, is going to be played tomorrow. That's Tuesday, May 4th at 7 p.m. Central. So, yeah, definitely make sure, you know, Philadelphia Union and Atlanta United fans catch that game. And I'm sure I probably will be watching as well. But let's go ahead and jump to the next matchup. Another pretty crazy matchup, at least unexpected. But that was Cruz Azul against Toronto FC. Cruz Azul with the 3-1 win away in Toronto. Man, Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on that matchup that we saw against Toronto versus FC, the first leg?
Yeah, for Toronto, I think actually this match was played in Tampa, Florida. So I guess Cruz Azul had a good vacation there. I got to start with Cruz Azul. They've shown a great potential, great team. They came in with a decent team, not their full starters, but it just goes to show how strong of a team they are right now. They're first in the league, already have their next spot secure for this playoffs. And now they came in with a somewhat of a second squad against Toronto FC, playing away, and they ended up getting, you know, the win. A good highlight from Cruz Azul. So the veteran goalkeeper, JJ Corona, he's back in action. It looks like he's going to be the starter for this game as well. So they have a really good keeper back there. Elias Hernandez and Jonathan Rodriguez looks like they're going to be the main starters, as when Cruz Azul played against Tijuana this weekend, they drew 1-1, and they had more of an alternate team. So basically, the players that didn't get to play the match against Toronto rested, and they were got put in the second half. And I think we're going to see more of a complete team here from Cruz Azul. In the Toronto side, they did get a break this weekend.
Yeah, Toronto, I'm getting a bye. So they didn't play this weekend. They didn't see any action with the MLS. But it was very surprising the way that Toronto lost 3-1. Cruz Azul got a very early goal from Brian Angulo Tenorio. And he just, you know, sometimes an early goal kind of throws it all off for sure. And seeing that, you're absolutely right, that they obviously are not playing in Toronto. The Canada regulations are very rough right now with COVID. So that's one main thing that, you know, especially with teams like that, that basically there's zero fans in the stadium. It's anyone's game, right? So anyways, Rodrigo, you want to add anything else?
No, just Toronto has to go to Cruz Azul playing in a Estadio Azteca, Mexico City. We know about the altitude. It's going to be a very tough game for them. Josie Altidore does not look like he's ready to compete the full 90. Michael Bradley still trying to hold it for them. They have a lot of veteran players that obviously are trying to do their best, but I think that age is catching up to them.
Yeah, and to add, I know that before the first leg, you had mentioned Aldo. He struggled, man. He struggled during the first leg. I know the Brian Angulo, he scored a really good goal from outside the 18, cutting inside and beating Aldo to the ball. And, you know, when players are doing very well, they're just playing pretty well, but then you have a game like that that is just rough on everybody. You know, it could be a moral, hurt them morally, and it's just going to be an impactful thing for Toronto to come back from.
Oh, yeah. So Auto, the funny thing with that is he struggled, but he's been playing as a left back for them recently, which has done really well. I'm not sure what the reason was. His preferred position is really a right back, but in the last three games that I've seen him play, he's been a really good left back. This, against Cruz Azul, they put him as a right back. So I don't know if that was maybe they thought he was going to get a better matchup there, or they just didn't have a strong right back. So I don't know, maybe that had something to do with it. We might see him at the his, you know, I guess, better position as of late, left back tomorrow night, but we'll see what happens.
So that game is at what time, Rodrigo, tomorrow night?
Yeah, this game is going to take place Tuesday at 9:15 Central Time, and that is May the 4th.
Great, man. So yeah, let's move on to another very good matchup that it did not disappoint last Wednesday, and that's Columbus Crew playing Monterrey, Los Rayados de Monterrey, and the game 2-2, but man, what a match. Columbus playing at home seemed like they were the better team, right? Had about 60% possession, 15 shots, and 4 shots on target. But, you know, Monterrey kept it close. Monterrey found a pretty early goal, which I thought that was going to throw the whole game off. I know you had mentioned how Monterrey had been playing like weekend and midday matches, and that they may struggle because of that. But they held their own, man. Columbus, again, tied it up. Then Lucas Elerian, or score would look like to be the winner. And no, out of nowhere, in the 90th plus, Jose Alvarado ties it up and just kind of quiets down Columbus and their stadium. And it was a fantastic match. So, Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on what we saw this past week?
This had to be one of the most exciting matches to watch for this tournament. You know, two top teams, Columbus and Monterrey. Columbus kind of did just what I expected. They have a really good team. I still think that they can go through to the next round. Celarayan has done an absolutely amazing job for this team. Got that late goal. We all thought it was the winner, but Monterrey just kind of, you know, pushed back in. I believe it was a header last 10 seconds, really. I'm not sure if it was from a set piece or not. Can't remember that. But it was one of those games that, you know, you kind of wish it was the second leg already. You know, it was the one to push it to a extra time kind of game. Monterrey, like I mentioned before, and you just mentioned, they did have a couple games. They've been on a losing streak. We kind of saw that, you know, they struggled a little bit against Columbus as far as trying to get possession, trying to create something. But they got a little bit of luck on their side, and they ended up getting the goals they needed to at least get a draw away.
Yeah, and those are all the most important away goals, right? So, I mean, two's is making it hard for Columbus to go to Monterrey, to go to their stadium, and to get the result. I mean, I guess they would need a 1-1 wouldn't cut it. So, technically, they would need a 2-2 draw for it to be called a tie, or a 3-3-0, I guess. No, 1-0, sorry. It would be a 1-0 for Columbus to advance. But, man, to me, yeah, I agree. This was, like, the funnest match to watch. Lucas Celarayan is such a good player, man. The ex or former Tigres player that faced Monterrey quite a few times. But I'm sticking with my guns on this one, man. I think Columbus, I've put them as my dark horse from the very beginning. I think they're just very talented. You know, players like Darlington Nagbe, Jordi Sardes, Arthur, and their goalie, Eli Room, they just have plenty of players that can still give Monterrey that tough matchup. And again, all they need is 1-0 win. So, Rodrigo, what are you thinking? You think Monterrey is going to end up just taking care of it at home?
I think they have a very good chance of doing that. A little quick add on this. So as those who follow the Liga MX, it just came to a close for the regular season. Monterrey had to play against Mazatlán FC, and that game really determined if they're going to be one of the first four to qualify directly and don't have to play this small tournament, I guess, or knockout for the next spot. And they had to either draw or win. A loss would kind of throw them under. So they went with a more defensive team to ensure that they can at least get a draw. So most of their attacking three were resting for this game. That just means that those attacking three are definitely going to be starting for this match against Columbus. They're looking to get some goals. I think we're going to see a full out attack from Monterrey and a good first starting team for them. Columbus is going to have to do a good job of trying to defend the goal and for the most part, try to keep possession and get a goal, at least a goal.
Yeah, again, this is going to be a really fun matchup. This one being played on Wednesday, May 5th. Cinco de Mayo, so Monterrey people are going to have so much fun. And it's at 7 p.m., Rodrigo.
Yeah, and just to add, Columbus played over the weekend against Montreal, and they had a 0-0 draw. We did see a lot of their starting players from this Monterrey team get the rest. One of those, I believe, was Jesse Sardis. So we're going to, they were taking precautions to make sure that they're going to have their full squad too. So this is probably going to be the game of the week.
Cool, man. Yeah, I'm excited. This is probably the best CONCACAF matchup. But I mean, the eight teams or the four matches left are all fun matches. And with that, we'll jump to the last one, which is Club America against Portland. Portland looked well. I mean, they did good. I knew it was going to be tough for Club America to come to Portland to play in the synthetic field, which I think at the end of the day, it helped out Portland as this matchup went down in PKs, man. So Club America scored a PK at the end of the first half, and then Portland scored a PK literally on the 97th minute at the end of the match. So it's just ridiculous how close the teams were. Possession was pretty close. Shots on target were like relatively the same. So it's going to be fun. It's going to be all out attack for both teams, I think. But at the same time, they may play it safe just because both teams are so good. But Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on this matchup coming up this week?
Honestly, I thought that this matchup was going to be more lopsided to America to begin with. I thought America was going to show up with a stronger team than they did and try to get a comfortable away win. Obviously, that wasn't the case. Portland came out and they defended their home. They tried to do their best. They kept America, like you said, just one penalty that ended up being converted for a goal. And they got that late goal in from the PK spot as well. A little things to highlight from this game. As we saw, America kept most of the possession and kept most control of the game. They did this with a younger team, I would say. Most of the starters were on the bench or the ones that at least we expected to start this game. America did play against Pumas this weekend and they ended up getting a 1-0 win over them by doing the same. They kind of did rest most of the players, so you know they're going to be going out against Portland with their full team. The biggest highlight of that game, and I guess having a good moment, is Memo Ochoa. He actually was the player of the match for this game. Had 5 saves. It just shows, that he's still a great goalkeeper, still keeping America in competition. And I think we're going to see America come out with their full squad. Portland on the other side, they did the same as America. They did rest a lot of players. Unluckily for them, they don't have, I guess, that much talent in their squad right now, especially with their main goalkeeper, Clark, or had an injury early in the season already. And they rest.
Portland had a 19-year-old player, and it was not a great MLS start for the kid. They played FC Dallas, who got a really early goal in the second minute, then another one in the 13th minute. And then from then on, they just seemed to struggle. And like you mentioned, they rested a ton of their regular starters to save them for this game against America. And it was very noticeable. FC Dallas took advantage of that and ended up winning the match 4-1.
Yeah, we definitely just hope that this is going to pay off for Portland. Resting a lot of players and losing 4-1 is not the confident build-up you want. to get going for this next leg. And a little bit thing to highlight here. So they're playing in Mexico City as well. Estadio Azteca, it's a really rare thing that you get Cruz Azul and America being playing at the same time during the same week, especially back-to-back. So we're going to see how well they can maintain this field in 24 hours. Usually, you know, if it's not raining, which sometimes in Mexico City rains a lot, the field might get destroyed and it's just going to be up to
the groundkeepers to be able to take care of it. No, I agree. Yeah, it's especially if it was the Cruz Azul Stadium, which obviously they don't play in anymore. Man, those were the games to see when the water was just so high that it seemed like they were. It was more like a water polo match, man, at times. But yeah, this game should be a fun one as well. This one being played Wednesday, May 5th at 9:15 Central time. So definitely catch it. You know, even if you're not a fan of Club America or Portland, it's going to be a fun match. All this second leg matchups for the quarterfinals are going to be great. Teams are going to come out. Even the ones that are down 3 goals are going to come out and just put that fight in, because you know what? They have nothing to lose, right? And then after that, they get like a pretty big break before we see them play the semifinals. So yeah, it should be a fun one. Rodrigo, if you have anything to add, otherwise we can take a short break.
Yeah, I'm excited to watch this game. So I'll probably definitely be catching that Columbus Monterrey. I'm sure a lot of our listeners will tune into that one as well. And I'm interested to see how Cruz Azul comes out. Like I said, they're having a great season. It's fun to watch them play, and we'll see how this goes.
Great. Then we'll take a short break, and we'll come right back with more Champions League. Before we go on, we want to thank our sponsor. Located about a mile away from Space Center Houston, find the All Pros Barbershop at 999 East NASA Parkway. Luis and his team will hook you up with a fresh haircut and a clean beard trim. Give them a call at 832-240-4267 or book your appointment online via Booksy. Make sure to follow them on Instagram to see their amazing work. Again, that is All Pros Barbershop, changing lives one haircut at a time. Welcome back, and we have more Champions League to talk about. This time we jump to the European Champions League, the UEFA Champions League. And this has been a fun one. It's so sad that it's coming to an end. This is going to decide the final that we'll see in late May. So let's go ahead and start talking about it. Tomorrow's matchup, it's Man City against PSG. Man City, first match, took a very good lead of 2-1 against PSG in Paris. Sadly, the team, PSG, just looks sloppy. And I think one thing that I mentioned last time before the first leg was that PSG did not rest many of their players during the week. They pretty much play with the starting lineup, and it was noticeable this time around because Man City looked fresh. Of course, it wasn't a walk in the park, but just PSG did not look like the normal PSG. And what's funny is I told Rodrigo, he asked me who was going to score, and I told him Marquinhos was going to score, and I got that right. But that's one of them. Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on this matchup that we saw last week?
Yeah, it became a surprising outcome as Man City took this one. They took advantage of that red card suffered in the, I guess, somewhat late minutes of the game. To me, that, you know, kind of was a moral booster for Man City, and PSG just kind of had to fight through that. They did get one, to me, lucky goal, getting that free kick from Mahrez through the wall. And obviously, we know Keylor Navas really didn't see that coming and reacted a little bit too late for that.
Yeah, and talking about the wall, man, I don't know what is up with the walls nowadays. They remind me of like when we used to play indoor and the people were like, no, the ball hurts when it hits me. It's like everybody just like literally separates and creates these massive gaps, letting people score. And real quick about that red card, very unlucky red card. Idrissa is it Gui? I always misspell or mispronounce that. But he was just so laid for that tackle and just got the I think it was Gundyne, got him right in the leg. I thought he was going to break the guy's leg. But anyways, sorry, Rodrigo. I just had to interrupt just to bring that point about that wall.
So, yeah, with that red card that was suffered, Idrissa Gaye is going to miss the next match. And PSG really had to try to make up for that. And Neymar and Mbappe, obviously, the key players of this match. So they're going to try to do the best. A little recap from the weekend. Man City played against Crystal Palace. At this point, we know that they're going to end up winning the league. They beat Crystal Palace 2-0. It was good to see Agüero back in action. And he even told Pep, or really the media, that he's ready, you know, ready to play this match against PSG. We know that he really deserves and would love to win a Champions League. He's done so much for Man City that, honestly, that would be a nice treat for him as well. PSG played against Lens. Neymar scored on this match, and they ended up winning 2-1. They did rest some of their players, but like you mentioned before, it's kind of strange to see them, Pochettino really putting their, I don't know if he's maybe trying to warm them up or something, or that they can stay fit, but it's kind of odd to see, you know, Neymar playing most of the match here or in the last couple of games, you know, in anticipation against the Man City team. But we'll see how this match goes.
Yeah, this is going to be a very fun one to watch as well. I'm going to keep my who I had mentioned as my favorites. I'm going to pick PSG to win. It will not be easy to go to Man City, to the Etihad Field, and try to get a win for sure. They need at least two goals since Man City took that away goal advantage. So it'd be fun to see. And again, this matchup being played tomorrow. Rodrigo, if you have nothing else to add, then I can go ahead and jump to the next one. Okay, so next matchup, a super fun one as well. Chelsea against Real Madrid. Leg one was played in Madrid in their small stadium. And I think one big thing that we've noticed in during this COVID time is the no fans in the stadiums makes the match pretty even, right? I mean, the fans chanting and giving the home team that home field advantage is just not there. So anybody can come out and play, you know, toe-to-toe. And that's basically what we saw in this Chelsea-Real Madrid match. Real Madrid played well. The matchup was pretty even. Possession was barely in favor of Real Madrid, who had 9 shots and only one on target, which was Benzema's goal. And Chelsea was the one in just full throttle, taking advantage of many shots on target. However, we're unlucky. The best part for me was that Christian Pulisic, man, the American, got himself a goal. And I mentioned how it'd be so important for him to score. I did not know that he was the first American to score in a semifinal. And that's pretty big for Team USA. And as a young player that he is, who obviously missed the World Cup, and it's not his fault that they missed the World Cup, but it's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. So as long as he keeps getting better and completely misses being injured and being in that training room, I mean, the kid can keep growing, and we've talked about he could have the opportunity to be like the best player in CONCACAF region if he continues to strive, and maybe, man, he could win himself a Champions League. We never know. But Rodrigo, what are your thoughts on this matchup, and who do you see coming out with the win in leg number two?
Yeah, this is going to be a fun match to watch. Real Madrid versus Chelsea, you know, they're even teams, even matches. And yeah, like you mentioned, having a stadium without a crowd, it's really, you know, given the advantage to, yeah, you don't get a home field advantage. Let me just say that. I was fortunate enough to, you know, well, some listeners may have heard that I am a big Liverpool fan. I was fortunate enough to go to Liverpool and visit the grounds there at Anfield. And one of the things that the tour guide talked about as we did a stadium tour was on the away team or the visitors' dressing room, how in Anfield, there's basically, you know, everybody screaming. You're sitting, I guess, dressing room is right below one of the main stands, and all you hear is loud noise. And he even said that Messi, Pep, anybody that goes in there, it's really just 15 minutes of silence because you cannot get a word in. Nobody can hear you, and everybody gets frustrated. And we saw that with Liverpool, as having no fans cost them to lose a couple games at home. And I feel this is the same thing with Real Madrid and Chelsea and anybody really, that you don't get that big home field advantage anymore. But into this game, Madrid, they're back with Eden Hazard, saw a couple minutes in the game. Chelsea looking stronger, I guess, every week. Their team under Tuchel has been absolutely, you know, better than, I guess, what Lampard could have hoped to have. Their team chemistry has really gone up, and everything's just kind of, you know, lining up together for them. Over the weekend, they beat Fulham 2-0, and Madrid ended up beating, I believe, Osasuna 2-0 as well. Some key things to look out for is Sergio Ramos is actually going to be back, being the captain of this team, bringing the strong defense with him, strong leadership, and goal scoring too, as we know that he tends to be their main penalty taker, as well as one of their key players during set pieces, corners, or long free kicks as well, to try to get a set piece out of it. Key men that they'll be, I guess, without would be Dani Carvajal. Luckily, I believe they have Marcelo, and he should be able to play this game as well. I know he did receive a yellow card in the last one. Valverde still out, Lucas Vazquez, and I guess the new player that is going to miss this match would be Varane. So we'll see how they deal with that. Chelsea has a little bit more depth in their team, not a lot of injuries. Looks like Kovac oh my god, I don't know what happened there. It's going to be missing the game, but I do think Real Madrid should take the win for this one. I'm still going to keep my pick for this one, and I believe Madrid is going to go through.
Who did you say was going to be missing?
Kovacic.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Yeah, the Chelsea-Real Madrid is going to be fun. To me, what's funny is in Chelsea's case, because I too kind of want to lean Real Madrid just because of the experience that they have of going to the Champions League. Most of those players have been there, done that, and know what it is to handle the pressure. And I don't know if Chelsea, you know, younger team with a younger head coach or not as experienced head coach, it's going to, I mean, I don't think they'll cave under pressure by any means. And as you mentioned about the stadiums, you know, being empty, that pressure can go both ways, right? It can definitely affect Real Madrid, but it can also affect Chelsea just because if they're doing bad or they get an early goal, I mean, you can always feel when the air leaves the building. But with that being said, I was trying to mention how their striker, man, Timo Begner, was just like this amazing goal threat. And he seems like he just misses everything. I mean, he is so unlucky right in front of goal. I mean, there's literally nothing but goal, and he hits like a player or the goalie or something. So for Chelsea to win, they need him to kind of shake that off, get a goal, get an assist early on, and it'll be their game. But Rodrigo, if you have anything to add about this matchup or anything in particular, man, go ahead.
Yeah, so definitely something interesting that I saw, and I thought it was pretty interesting to bring up. You might like it, you might not. It kind of has to do with Barcelona. So it's an interesting fact. I think most listeners would kind of find it funny, or I don't know, maybe it might happen. But since 2007-2008 Champions League that Man U ended up winning, this so-called, I guess, curse, or I don't know what else you want to call it. I don't think it's a curse. It's just maybe, I guess, things of happening. So Man U beat Barcelona in the semifinals. They went on to play against Chelsea and ended up winning that game. Since then, a team that has won it has been either Barcelona or Madrid. Barcelona has won it 3 times. Madrid has won it 4 times. But here's the interesting thing. Any other team that has won it has beat Barcelona to win it. And I mean, you know, you can go down through the list and it's so interesting to see. If you look at it, most of the time Barcelona got knocked out in the semifinals. If, you know, you remember the against Inter, they got knocked out. Inter won against Chelsea. Barca got knocked out in the semifinals as well. Chelsea ended up winning that one. Same thing in 2013. Bayern Munich ended up winning that one. Barca got knocked out in the semis. And the list just goes on. The funny thing here is, you know, if Barca didn't win it, then Madrid won it. And the times that Madrid, or the finalists that Madrid faced, 3 of those had beat Barca. So this just kind of goes to tell us that PSG and Madrid potentially, according to this curse or whatever you call it, have the opportunity to be in the final. And from there, you know, it's going to be interesting if it does happen, because, you know, it's just a trend that just keeps happening. And I saw this and I'm like, there's no way, this has been such a long time. But I mean, it just shows how much of a top team Barca has been, you know, under Messi, and Madrid with Ronaldo, or the Ronaldo years, I would say. I don't know. I don't know. Do what you want with that information, I guess. But I just thought it was like, damn, like, this is really interesting.
Well, there you go with that curse that Rodrigo has mentioned. It seems like the final may be Real Madrid PSG. Who knows? We should see. I'm sure Man City fans and Chelsea fans are definitely going to be against that. But let us know what you guys think.
Make sure to like, share, and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it. And if you have suggestions for an episode or you want to be featured, reach out to us on Twitter at Borders Soccer and at Crossing Soccer Borders on Instagram. Thanks again, and see you next time.